It's extremely rare to find a three-time All-American in any sport in college during any era. Tommy Smith is one of the most celebrated lacrosse players in the history of the sport. T-Dubs, Dougie Smith. Doug, I know you know Tommy from school. What did you think of his lacrosse efforts?
Yeah, Tom, he came in my fourth year. He was a first year. And he was one of the few guys back in the early to mid-90s that he came on campus in his sport, and he was an immediate starter. Just back then, in terms of the hierarchy, it did not happen. It was so rare throughout whatever it was. You know, great dude, fit in immediately, has been a good friend ever since. We reconnected recently, and he's all about that game. Grew up in Syracuse, New York, where you play basketball or lacrosse, and he came up with the Native American tribes around him playing box lacrosse, and he gave all of us, I think, great insight into his development and his journey that we would never know.
I mean, I don't follow lacrosse at all, so this is interesting for me, but it was just reading this, two-time high school All-American, three-time NCAA All-American, and then national championship game, 93, alternate team, 94. It's impressive. That's all you can say about that. And then talking to him, he knew his hoops too. I thought that was really cool. I mean, I basically shut the hell up for most of this podcast until the end when I closed it, but it was really cool.
We also got to introduce Jake Malisic. You guys remember him from the Barstool interview that we had, and he's nice enough to jump on as our lacrosse guru, and he did an amazing job. So shout out to Jake. Hopefully he'll come back again as we do more of these lacrosse pieces. And on top of that, we'll link in the description below an article from Bennett Conlin about Jake running the fake Stephen A. Smith account, which is pretty cool. But yes, we get to hear from Jake again. Great guy.
Unfortunately, I had to jump off early, so I didn't get to listen to it. But the start of it, he has a fascinating story, right? And additionally, there aren't too many African Americans playing lacrosse, especially then.
Right. And I like the, you know, he addressed that question, but that's all he knew. He didn't think about what color he was or what color somebody else was.
Yeah.
Or he was just like, this is what I love and I do it. And these are my boys. And it's one of the great unifying things about sports, right?
Sport, yeah, absolutely.
Along with Jake Malisic and Doug Smith, Tommy Smith now joins us. Tommy, welcome to the show.
Thanks you guys for having me. Hope all is safe and everyone's doing well.
You have such a unique story. It's so great. I'm excited for the audience to hear it. Let's start when you were young. You grew up, your parents grew up in Virginia, but then they moved to Syracuse?
Yeah, so my parents met at Virginia State University in Petersburg. My mom's from Petersburg, my dad's from Suffolk. Near the Tidewater area, if you want to call it that. So, but they did graduate school for education at Syracuse. So they got graduate degrees from SU and decided to stay in the area because they immediately got jobs.
Right. How did you get into lacrosse?
Just friends. One of my friends growing up, Doug Jackson, he actually, his mom was a secretary of the SU lacrosse team, but he was a ball boy. So we, a whole bunch of us just in elementary school, just start playing and kind of took Dougie's lead, and I just fell in love with the game.
So lacrosse is a spring sport, right? And it's played outside. But in Syracuse, in Syracuse, it can snow well into May sometimes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is cold up there.
Yeah. No, you get hardened by it. That's for sure.
Right. But I mean, there's parts of New York, Long Island, Syracuse, that are hotbeds for lacrosse.
Right? Yeah.
And typically, when you think about the weather being cold, maybe not necessarily being such a big outdoor sport, like there are not a ton of baseball players who come from New York. Right,
no,
due to the weather,
no.
they come from Florida, they come from the West when it's warm out, right? And so Was it challenging for you to come up playing lacrosse in the cold weather?
Yeah, it was definitely challenging. I mean, but at the same point in time, guys, you get almost used to it or like immune to it because you're just, you know, either you're outside shoveling 2 feet of snow, you know, with your parents, or, you know, it's just one of those things where you just get used to it and you make the best of it.
Jake, what's the relationship? You grew up in the Northeast as well.
Yeah, I went to high school and college up there for a while, so I'm kind of familiar.
And you were a huge lacrosse fan and player?
Yeah, ever since, right? I kind of stepped on campus, yeah.
How was your adjustment to playing lacrosse in the cold weather?
I mean, up there, the mentality's a lot different than when you get down here. I mean, we used to walk, you know, the stadium that we would practice at was a quarter mile from the gym, the locker rooms, and there's no path. You kind of just trudge through the deep snow, and you get to where you need to be, and you bring out the shovels, and you play, right? So, I mean, the mentality from Elsville to, you know, Exeter, New Hampshire, where I was at, is definitely a lot different, and it's more of an expectation that you're just going to have to deal with the weather.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that
mentally, I'm struggling with it. I'm struggling with mentally because I hate the cold.
I bet. Right?
Me too.
Right. So if you don't hate the cold, it's okay, right? It's not so bad.
True.
Right. Tommy, for you, were there times when you were like, why am I not playing spring basketball or wrestling or something like that, a different sport?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but I fell in love with the sport at such a young age that it was like, I couldn't think about doing anything other than playing lacrosse, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
At what age did you know, because it's changed so much now, are your kids in seventh grade committing, eighth grade committing? When did you know you were real and you're going to have a decision to make?
About college, I would say maybe my freshman year of high school. And, you know, it was just like one of those things where my coaches, I played varsity as a sophomore, and that's when it was just like, all right, people start asking my coach Tom Hall about me. And he was just like, I just want to give you a heads up, like, you know, do, you know, mind your business, you know, stay the course, and because you'll be, you know, you do the right thing. But if you know my parents, I had no other choice but to do the right thing.
Right. That's not the equation.
Yep.
So you were a really good player in high school, I got to imagine, if you got to UVA.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to play for, like I said, Tom Hall, who's a lacrosse, you know, high school lacrosse coach legend up there. And lacrosse is such a big deal in upstate New York that it's almost like Friday Night Lights. You know, like Friday nights up at Syracuse University on Coin Field, or a Saturday night, I mean, the place is jumping. I mean, it really is. You know, you get, it may not seem like a lot of people, but you get like 4,000 or 5,000 people. I mean, you know, and people are.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And sometimes people are even tailgating. Like, that's how, I mean, it can get a little wild. I mean, also people, you know, they get a little stir crazy up in Syracuse once lacrosse season rolls around because people just want to get out, which kind of reminds me of this whole virus thing. So it's just like, you know, they want to get out and about.
Yeah, sure.
Also, Tommy, when you were in high school, you know, we talked about this a little before the start, you know, being an African-American, being a person of color, was that, you know, tough for you going through high school, playing lacrosse when, you know, probably the majority of, you know, African-American students probably weren't doing that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's weird because, Jake, so like I grew up, my family moved out to the basically the white suburbs when I was in eighth grade. But I finished middle school in Syracuse at a school that my mom taught at, and then transitioned over to high school out in the burbs. And I was like maybe one of 9-10 kids of people like of color, but no one really, I have to be honest with you, I'm not sure if lacrosse played and I was good at it, I'm not sure if that had anything to do with the way that I was treated, but I always felt fairly comfortable. I mean, I have friends right now, I mean, the majority of my friends from my high school are all white, you know, I mean, I just, that just, that's just the way I, you know, I adapted to it. It was just like, hey, you know, like, all right, you know, it is what it is. I'm not, I can't change my color. So, you know.
Right. I tried to change mine a couple times for basketball.
Well, Dougie, you know, you did as the next best thing. You married somebody. Exactly. You married somebody who's black or Latino.
Offspring. You got the offspring.
Right.
Tommy, that's did you weird. Face any opposition or any challenges or any name calling or any teasing or because of being African American?
No, there was only, I would say the one time that I had it was. When I was playing Empire State games, I made the Empire State, the Central New York team, and we were playing a team, well, the Western New York team, and there was some kid dropping the N-bomb like crazy. And at this particular point in time, it was the last game of the tournament, and I was hoarse. I couldn't speak anymore. But I made enough out of it just to be like, dude, stop, because I got a defensive long stick and you have a short stick. So just – like, quit it. Like, just stop. And, you know, outside of that, I can't say that I really faced a whole lot of opposition about it. You know, once again, it's I think also, I mean, it also helped that my dad was, like, a pretty big black guy. So, and he was pretty well known. He refereed college, Division I college football for the Big East for years. And he was like the lead official. So I had and he's done the Orange Bowl. He did the Fiesta Bowl. So he had some street cred behind it. Like, no one's going to mess with my dad. You know what I mean? So it was like one of those things where I knew my parents had my back, and that's all I need to know.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because you hear stories about it in hockey. Right, some of these guys are going through such harsh racism.
Mm-hmm.
So people of color, black people and Latino people with brown skin, are having some negative experiences and challenges with the people calling them the N-word, right? And other players.
I mean, the fans in hockey can be unmerciful. I mean, I love hockey, but I mean, you could hear some really. I'm not going to name names or towns, but. You know, I know I've heard stories like, wow, you know, they're like making up names.
So you get to Virginia.
Uh-huh.
In your first year.
Yeah. My first year was Dom Starge. We were Dom Starge's first recruiting class. So that consisted of me on defense with Darren Mahoney out of Mayapack, New York. Brian Birch and Kurt Mueller, Kurt from Philly, Brian from Port Washington. And then we had basically now lacrosse legends. They're both in the Lacrosse Hall of Fame, Doug Knight and Michael Watson. We had a solid team. I think Dom's philosophy was I don't want to speak for him, but I heard it enough times that he was like, I want quality, not quantity. I think a lot of first-year coaches, especially in lacrosse, they'll try to load up on whoever they can get, and then if they don't make the team, they don't make the team. You know, obviously Virginia's at a, you know, coming out of ACC, it's got, you know, a lot more weight to it, so they could be a lot more selective. But I know that it was like, hey, you know, I want as much quality. I wanted, you know, he wanted athleticism, leadership, and, you know, just play hard every single time.
We talk about this a lot with basketball. You came into a situation where you were Dom's first recruiting class.
Yeah.
Right? When Jeff Jones became my coach my second year, but the older guys like had Terry Holland. Did you see any of that in the team where, you know, Dom had you? Was he tougher on you guys because you were his first class, or was he?
I think he was tough on all of us, but I think there was a little bit of a division, Dougie. Where, you know, I think Don was trying to weed out some of the older guys. And once again, we were Don's first class, and he's like, I'm going to play whoever I want to play, you know, and these kids can play now. I'm letting them play now. And if you don't like it, too bad. You know, I mean, he's from Valley Stream, New York. You know, he's a big, tough guy, you know, a smart guy. And
no nonsense.
Yeah, no nonsense. And he was just like, I'm going to make this program in my vision. And this is how it's going to go. I'm going to recruit everywhere. You know, the team when I got there, yeah, I mean, it had a mixture. It was more, I would say, Maryland guys. And then you sprinkled in some Long Island guys, yep. Like Sean Miller and James Ireland. But predominantly D.C. and Baltimore guys. And then Dom came in and he's like, I'm recruiting everywhere. You know, because yep. Dom came in from Brown University. So he had connections with all the prep schools up north, like in New England. So, you know, he's like, I'm going to recruit everywhere. And, you know, that was – at least that's – once again, I don't want to speak for him, but I kind of felt like he brought that almost like University of Miami old Hurricanes. Like when you watch them play football, they had guys from California, Texas, right. Louisiana, I mean, all over the place. You know, it's crazy, you know. I mean, so obviously we didn't have that many people or guys to choose from in that area, but, you know – yeah, so that I think that was his philosophy. If he's like, hey, listen, if you can play and you got speed and you have athleticism and I know you're not going to bring a bad attitude, I'm going to recruit you.
Yeah, and when you got to grounds and you're doing your first fall and you're heading into your first year, did you kind of see Dom as a, you know, two-decade coach and, like, bring all these championships eventually and how that was going to go, or was it kind of a shock to you kind of watching his career unfold?
I wasn't shocked, to be honest with you. I really wasn't. I felt like our class was the kind of the footprint for the rest of those classes that came after us that ended up winning national championships. I lost two to Princeton in overtime my first year and my third year. And so that was devastating. Brutal. But, you know, and then you get, you know, guys like Tucker Radebaugh and blah, blah, blah. And they come in, and Tucker was there when I was there. And of course, 2 years after my class leaving, they win a national championship. Being like, damn. Like, but I, you know, bittersweet, but I was proud of them. And I felt, you know, like, hey, you know, without us, there would be, I mean, not to sound cocky or anything like that, you know, but we laid a lot of the groundwork for them to kind of come in and be like, all right, we'll take it from here now that you guys are gone.
Yeah, speaking of that too, I mean, when Lars got here, there was definitely some like culture issues, as they would call it, where mm-hmm. the transition wasn't as smooth and players weren't probably taking it as serious as they should have been as Lars was kind of taking over. What did you see as there was kind of a coaching change from the previous to Dom? Where, you know, maybe there were changes that need to be made in order to kind of be successful, you know, 5-6 years.
Yeah, you know, that's a sensitive subject for me because I know Lars from Syracuse. Lars grew up in Lafayette, New York, and we used to play summer ball together. But Lars also played for Dom. So it was interesting. He played for Dom at Brown, of all places. So,
right.
You know, I just felt like, when Lars, first of all, I was kind of a little shocked that they won it last year, but the mentality was, I think, you know, hey, listen, no matter how many, and it's not a knock on Dom, but maybe the guys he started to, and, you know, once again, I don't want to speak ill of anybody, but, you know, Lars was just like, hey, we're going to do a bend, don't break attitude. And we're going to, you know, he kind of took Dom's philosophy of like, it's going to be speed and it's going to be physical. And, you know, I don't know how it all went down with the last years that Dom was there. I can't speak to that because I really don't know any of the guys personally there. But yeah, I mean, to answer your question, I saw a hardening of those guys that played last year. You know, when they got down, they were never out, and they kept, you know, like, I call it grinding. You grind, you keep grinding, you keep grinding, because, you know, in the game of lacrosse, you can be down 6, 7, 8 goals. That means absolutely nothing. If you got 5 minutes, you can have 5 minutes left to go in a game, and guess what? You can win the game. you know, because it's that's the beauty of lacrosse, is that you're never really out of it till you get down to like 2 minutes and you're down like 6 points. And even then, I would still never count anybody out of that either.
You talked about you went to two national championships, which is incredible. People don't realize how hard, I don't care what sport it is in college, like it's impossible. Yeah. And having lost those, but then seeing because of you guys, and it was your coach Dom when they won.
Right.
Did you feel a part of it? Because, you know, we won last year.
Yeah.
And I tell everybody I was on the team still. In basketball. Right?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
But we all felt like we won. It was great.
No, I think that you – at least that's the way I felt. You know, Dom always made it a point when, you know, he would put my picture in not yearbook, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, And he would always like write a note like, hey, still a star, T. Smith, or something like really nice note about it. And I was like, yeah, because I think it's that sense of family that he wanted to create. And, you know, I'm not sure if that was there before. I'll be honest with you. I didn't feel like I felt like it became a family, like alumni were now getting back involved. And I don't think, like, before Dom got there, I'm not sure if that it was like that. I think it was more of like, once again, I'm not speaking ill will of anybody. It might have been more individual and like, hey, go about your business and see ya. Now right. It's just, you know, it's once again, it's that sense of family. Like, you know, there's, you know, especially now that there's social media. So everyone's connected, right? So it's easier. And even if you don't know a person, you're still like, hey, what's up, man? You know, like, I mean, I worked at ESPN for 13 and a half years. I can't tell you how many guys that rolled through when I was there that were just like, hey, you know, I'm not asking for a job, but I just want to pick your brain and just introduce myself. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, absolutely.
And I mean, it's crazy too, with the whole college sports kind of fraternity. I mean, you play Duke lacrosse and you find somebody from Johns Hopkins, like you still have that instant connection, which I found pretty, pretty cool. I mean, I was just going to say, you know, at UVA, you know, being in the early 90s and playing those Princeton teams, like, who were your big rivals? Was it still kind of the Duke, Carolina, Syracuse, ACC mentality, or did you guys have some more specific teams that were better at the time?
Well, I would say, well, obviously Princeton became a rival quick. But, you know, outside of the ACC, it was Hopkins. Like, we just did not – it was like oil and water. You know, they – like Hopkins has that – you know, the shape. It's like, at least when I was growing up, they have almost like that they are the Notre Dame football of lacrosse. Like, they have alumni that will watch practice. You know what I mean? I mean, like, we're talking about practice. And they're out there watching it. What I mean? And – you know, and when I took a recruiting trip there, and, you know, I was like, this is all well and good, but one, it's a smaller school. It's a great school, as we all know. But it's a smaller school. I was coming from Syracuse, where you have the Dome. It's a bigger school. It was in the Big East at the time. And that's what, you know, I took advantage of the fact that I grew up in Syracuse, and it was surrounded by Syracuse lacrosse, basketball, and football. You know, they were all three of them were awesome when I was there, or when I was growing up. You know, so I had a school to compare everything to, and it was just like, you know what, it's just too small for me. I wanted to be at a bigger school, and it was just like it was ACC. You know, I'm getting out of Syracuse. I'm spreading my wings a little bit, and you know, Coach Simmons did tell me when I made my decision to go to UVA, and I thought this was a really cool thing. He said, listen, he was like, Smitty, if it, for some reason, it doesn't work out in Virginia, you can always come back home and play. And,
that's awesome.
So that was really cool. Because he didn't have to say that. he could have been like, good riddance, you know, we'll see you on the field. And,
right,
you know, because I did have, I'm not going to name names, but I was telling my dad this just the other night. I was just like, I had one coach who recruited me, and when I told him Virginia, he was like, okay, click. I was just like, oh, it's good. And I was like, okay.
Wait, Coach K recruited you too? That was Duke?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know
Coach
right.
K recruited you. By the way, T. Smith, you're talking about going to a bigger school, all the sports. Back then, Jake, we were all close because we all worked out the same places, yep. The same U-Haul and everything. So we were all tight. Like your boy, you guys, my year, that play with you, always at the games, the basketball games.
Yep.
We go to your games. How much did the social aspect of Virginia, so as to not say the party aspect, because we had fun back then.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We won't get into all that. We'll be here all day. But I was going to say, I'm glad that you brought that up, Doug, because I think that had also an effect on me because of the fact that, like you said, we would go to your games. You come to our games. We used to go to soccer games. Sometimes we used to go to baseball or softball game. I mean, it was crazy. Yeah. Like, you felt like you were part of a larger family. And remember, we were all, you know, we were all doing the whole dining thing at Scott Stadium after practice and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And so, I mean, and, you know, we also had a football / lacrosse house. So you remember AD, you remember Andrew Dosh, right?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, yep.
He
played both. So it was him, like Mike Frederick and a couple other mm-hmm. dudes that were – and so, you know, obviously – It just happened that, you know, we were all cool, you know. I felt like we were truly, you know, we felt like a family.
Right, for sure. And we used to eat at Bryant Hall together, if you know where Bryant Hall is.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
All the athletes ate there. Football usually by themselves. And I tried to eat with the right. football players. Their food was much better.
Yeah, they used to have steaks.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of them. A lot of steaks. Now everybody eats by kind of by themselves. They have their own training table. So that's right. That's what I tell kids. That's something I loved about the school.
Yep. I totally agree. I think that's a big, at least for me, I think that was, like I said, I don't know what it's like now because new facilities. I have to get down there at some point in time to check everything out. But, you know, we were so, I mean, everyone's practicing or going to study hall or doing whatever together. And then obviously, there was a social aspect, you know, and people are like,
Thursday night was right, real.
Thursday night. Oh yeah. It got real Thursday night.
Jake knows.
I definitely think that's kind of a change though, that kind of culture where I think a lot of the teams are now a lot more specialized with themselves. And I mean,
right.
I definitely, you know, obviously people are friends and, you know, they see other athletes and you have the backpack and, you know, you understand that though, that guy plays football and I play lacrosse or whatever, but I wouldn't say there's you know, as much intermingling as there used to be. You kind of see people kind of staying with their teams and staying with the people that they kind of are closest with. And I wish that was kind of the case where people were kind of, you know, mixing and matching and just it doesn't matter and going to different people's games. But that definitely sounds a little more old school than what it is today.
Sure. Yeah, I did some work up at Sacred Heart for their athletic program. And it was funny because, you know, it's a smaller school, obviously, right? But it was interesting that the equestrian team stayed with the equestrian team. The wrestling team stayed with the wrestling team. This is good. I'm saying I'm backing your point. The football team did their own thing. Lacrosse did their own thing. Right. And I was like, wow. I was like, I know I'm old, but I'm like, I can't be that old.
The slash in the face.
Yeah, right?
So, you know, at Virginia, I always kind of like to ask people, I play video games. I know this is, again, more of the new school type stuff, but I was playing video games with Ty and Kyle a couple weeks ago. And I always like to ask, you know, what parts of Charlottesville do you miss the most? Like what, you know, once you graduated, once you left, what were you like, oh, wow, like I'm never going to be able to go there every day like I used to?
I think, well, just honestly, just going to class and walking across the grounds, It was it's just gorgeous. I mean, that's another part about UVA. It kind of sells itself outside of the academics. It, you know, and, you know, being Thomas Jefferson School, and Doug, you can back me up on this, but, you know, it's just, it's like one of those things. And I'll just give you a quick story, right? I remember going to the Virginia-Florida State game where Tiki and those guys ended up beating Florida State. So I was walking behind some Florida State fans, right? And it was like a nice fall. I think it was the Thursday night, right? And I remember there were some Florida State fans that were just like in awe of like how beautiful the school was.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm and I was like, it. I was like, yeah, I was like, hell yeah. You know, I was like, right. Well, you know, we may not win the football game, in which they actually did, but I'm like, listen, our campus is no joke. But I would say, yeah. So to answer your question, the grounds, I would say the corner, all these nice restaurants, and then even downtown, it used to be like Fridays after 5, there used to be all these like jazz fest people, and you had Dave Matthews that was like kick, like just rocking it back. I mean, he's still rocking it, but like he was
getting
like
started.
Yeah, blowing he was up. Like, yeah, he like laid that foundation for Charlottesville's music scene. That is grown, that is blown up as well. So
I remember a dude playing ball, playing basketball, and we traveled up wherever, name a million colleges on away games. And I didn't have the choices you had. I was more lucky that I got to go to UVA when you could choose wherever you want to go. But I go to other schools and I'm like, yo, y'all shit is whack. Like, how beautiful is our college? Like,
right.
We go in through these gates and your college is around this area. Like, this is just whack, yo.
Yeah. No, it's true.
We were spoiled. It's a good spot, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was like one of those things also where it's so beautifully manicured. Like, they were, I mean, even the grounds crews knew our team. I had guys that were just like, they were mowing the lawn and they used to stop. And obviously, yep. I stick out like a sore thumb. They were like, yo, T, you got this week. And I was just like, I don't even know who you are, but I was like, all right, yeah. You know, I was like, yeah, we will rock and roll this weekend. I was like, so I'll see you on Monday. He was like, no, I'm going to be at the game, man. I was like, I'll be at the game. I was like, okay.
Incredible.
All right. So, you know, all those the little things, right?
It's a family thing. So, T. Smith, we do a segment, and Jake's going to take over. I think he's going to put some pictures up that he may or may not have researched, and we get the T. Smith reaction.
Oh, boy. Live. they guy was in shape.
Nothing incriminating, I hope. I didn't send him in.
Oh, man, that's my senior year at Fayetteville Manlius. Yep, that high school, yep. I have that.
My question is, you know, looking back at this picture, did you kind of, at this time, did you kind of know what was going to happen with your lacrosse career? Did you have like a goal set, expectations? Like, what was your kind of mindset going out of high school?
I had already committed to UVA. So, yeah, to answer your question. Yeah, I wanted to go into the lacrosse season just having been like, I'm done with all the recruiting stuff. I'm like, I'm done. I'm committed to UVA. I'm committed to Dom, Coach Van Arsdale, Coach Murphy, who's now at UPenn.
Murph, and I was like, Murph.
Yeah, Murph, man. So, yeah, so I was just like, I'm done. I'm straight up. Yeah, but that's my senior year at FM.
Awesome. Next picture, the beautiful. So when you see, you know, Clarkner Stadium, what are some good memories? What are your thoughts? I think it's the best stadium in college lacrosse, but I'm a little biased. When you see pictures like this, like, what do you think?
Just how much the fan base in the sport has grown. And that's part of it. Once again, the lacrosse fan base has grown, but how well the team has done. And that kind of, once again, being in that, you know, bringing that pride back to Charlottesville, where you can be like, hey, we're winning championships. Like, if you're not down with winning championships, this is not the place for you.
Right. Yeah, and I feel bad, too, because, you know, you look at highlights from the games in 2012, so the year after they won in 2011, and the hill was packed, and all these people are there at the games, because people like winners, obviously. And I just feel that, you know, the season getting cut short the year after you win the national championship, you don't really get to experience that late in the year when, you know, Duke, Hopkins, UNC come to town.
Yeah, so, I know, man.
I missed that a little bit. But, I mean, these pictures with the hill full is one of the coolest things I think that college lacrosse has to offer. So
yeah, that's probably the last time you might see that. Social distancing, unfortunately. But, yeah, those are that's a great picture.
Right here. So, again, we talked a little bit about Dom. You know, seeing a picture of Dom, like, what are your thoughts? How is he as a coach early on in his career? You know, I got to kind of experience Dom a little later on in his career. Spoken to him a few times, kind of gotten to know his mindset. But, you know, being a new coach at Virginia, being his first recruiting class, like, how did you kind of view him and how did he kind of impact what you were doing?
Definitely like a father figure. First of all, looking at that, he's not happy, right? So, yeah. I'm just glad that I wasn't on the receiving end of too many of those looks. But when he had his when he had his arms crossed, I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to your Dom. You know, my boy Brian Birch from Port Washington said, and he's got like kind of a raspy voice. He was like, man, he goes, you know, Dom's pissed when that third vein in his neck pops up. I was just like, I was like, yeah, that's a good call. But you know, I think he brought a certain mentality that blue, like that tough love, but, you know, Strong Island mentality / New England mentality to UVA. And, I was sad to see him go because, once again, I'm one of Dom's boys. But I was like, if you're going to replace him with anyone, it should be Lars. And I'm glad that they made Lars his successor. He's the all-time winningest coach, right? I mean, I'm proud of that too. Like, you know, I help
for sure.
I help with that winning, you know? So, but yeah, man, the first when you popped that up, I was like, Coach Starzy is not happy.
Yeah, the dude's definitely got a presence.
Yeah.
He was so cool to me the whole time. He came in my second year, I think he got the job, and he was just such a good down to earth regular dude.
Yeah, he's a family guy, you know, that's him. There is no faking it. Like, you know, he keeps it real, and all his brothers are really nice, and I think Tim Starzy is a professor down at UVA. I can't remember, but I have to look that up. But I think, yeah, he might be a professor in the business school, but don't quote me on that.
Was Dom rocking the mustache when you were playing, or was that a little later?
Oh, no. He was definitely, I mean.
He was stashed up?
Yeah, he was stashed up. I was just like, man, you kind of look like a porn star, dude. <I'm> like, And it was weird when he took it off or when he shaved it off. I was just like, who? I was like, he looks like almost 20 years younger. I was like, coach, man. I was like, what's up?
And, right, where you been?
Yeah. And so anyway, yeah, no, that's funny about the mustache. Yeah.
So then speaking of, next picture is this one. You know, obviously a rougher first year than he probably would have enjoyed, but turned it around. I've talked to a bunch of guys that graduated last year, like Ryan Conrad, did a story on him. Mm-hmm. When you see Lars, you know, in the 4 or 5 years that he's had, what are your thoughts, you know, being an alumni of the program? How do you think he's doing? Obviously, won national champion already under his belt, but first thoughts when you hear the name Lars Tiffany.
Visionary, cares about the game, and cares about his people. You know, he really cares, and he's gonna. And I would say this honestly, Jake. I would say, you know, when Lars is like, he's gonna give you 110%. You know, not that Dom didn't. Dom absolutely did. But I'm just saying, I'm glad, once again, they brought in someone that had vision, that was going to be a disciplinarian when he had to be, but he had the vision of, like, this is how I'm going to do things. This is how I'm going to reconstruct this in my mind, you know? And of course, like it was a tough first year for him, but once again, they won the national championship last year and it pays off, you know? But you also have to have, and you guys know this, you have to have guys willing to buy into that system, right? If you don't have, you can have all the talent in the world, but if they don't buy into your system, then it's like, well,
right.
You know, you're at a loss, right? I mean, these are guys, and I mean, it also makes it a lot easier when you win a national championship, right? I mean, it's like, you know, you're going to Duke. Of course, you're not going to question Coach K because he's right. One, going to kick your butt off the team, or two, it's going to be like, why am I going to question a legend? You know, right. So, but to you know, going back to your point, like the program is in great hands.
Next up here, we have this fella, Bill Tierney. Oh,
Coach Tierney.
I know. I like that guttural reaction. You still feel it. So you know, on the team of coaches, you know, this guy kind of owned the 90s. Even one with Denver, you know, 2014, I believe.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, Bill Tierney, obviously legend of the game, one of the top lacrosse coaches of all time. You had, you know, I would say either the privilege or the burden to play him multiple times throughout your career. What do you think when you see a picture of him?
One, he used to ride the officials like no other lacrosse coach I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm sure he intimidated some officials, to be honest with you. But maybe that was his, I only know him from playing against them. I will say this. I would say that'd be the one thing that used to stick out to me. Very intense guy, obviously, as you can see. But he was able to game adjust probably better than any coach that we went up against. I remember, I can't remember what year it was. We beat Princeton like, I don't know, like 16-6. And then we had to face him in the playoffs. And Dom was like, if you guys think the same Princeton team is going to show up, you know, here in the playoffs than, you know, you did back in March, you are sadly mistaken. And sure enough, it was like a completely different team, more confident. You know, I mean, we caught them on like the second game of the year, right? But, you know, great game coach. I know that there's guys like one of my best friends from high school, Jason Osher, played basketball and lacrosse. And, you know, he definitely, his alumni base is definitely loyal to him. I definitely remember that face.
And then kind of moving on here. Casey Powell, I know that, you know, he is widely considered, you know, if not the greatest player, one of the greatest players of all time. You can get to play against him. You know, bringing it back to guys like that that now are considered just legends of the game, how did it feel to kind of in the moment play against these kind of guys?
Yeah, well, so Casey and I went back before he was even going to Syracuse. He and I played on the Empire State Game Central New York team. My second time around, it was his first time around. And it was funny because Casey was like a really quiet kid at the time. And Carthage, New York is way up north, you know, not a big town, but he was like the nicest kid. So I've known Casey for forever. And then, you know, we had our battles up in, against each other. And I guess the scary part was like how much confidence he gained every single year. And, you know, I think he came within himself that he was like, and then of course you got, you know, his brothers, you know, the brothers Powell and all that stuff. So it was like, you know, Orion and Mikey. And they just kind of fed off of Casey, you know? And so listen, it was intense going against him, but like I said, I wouldn't have it any other way because I knew, one, when we played Syracuse, it was going to be up and down action. There was not going to be like where where Princeton, when they had Coach Tierney, it was very much a slow down pace. Like, they took the air out of the ball. They would almost lull you to sleep. Coach Simmons and Coach Starzee were like, no, we got thoroughbreds and we're going to run. And so that's what made it really fun for me to, one, go up against guys that I grew up with that stayed home and played at Syracuse, but just being like, man, you know, there's no slowing down this thing. I mean, we're going to – it was like almost like, hey, let's put on a show. So.
Next up here, we have the first national championship in the Dom era. Mm-hmm. So, again, you know, we've talked about this already, but, you know, kind of seeing these guys a couple years after you graduate finally win the big one. You know, walk me through it. I don't know if you watched it live or if you
– Yeah, I did. Yeah, so I was
– What were you feeling?
Pride and jealousy. I'm not going to lie, man. I mean, I wanted to ring so badly, but, you know, like I think Doug brought up, it's like, you know – when they won, it felt like you won. Like, now I could wear all my Virginia gear. People were like, oh, you played at Virginia? And I'm like, yeah, you know. And I'm like, so it's like, you know what I mean? Even with, like, the Virginia basketball, it was like, people were like, yo, we, you know, we're the shit now. And it's like, yep. You know, you could wear that stuff with pride. And then, you know, with the basketball team winning in March and then the lacrosse team winning in on Memorial Day, it was crazy. You know, it was just like a lot of, once again, like a lot of pride, you know, in laying the groundwork in what you do.
And we get to reign for 2 years in a row, both.
Hey, I was about to say, I wasn't even going to bring that up, but I'm like.
It is what it is.
Absolutely. And give Tony Bennett a lot of credit, man. I mean, the guy can recruit. Oh, yeah. So mean, and he sounds like a real a real family guy, religious guy, just down to earth. I think one of the best Tony Bennett things, I know we're talking about lacrosse, but I think they wanted, and Doug, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the university wanted to give him a pay raise, and he said, no, give it to my assistants. I think that's right, correct?
Yeah, Jake probably knows the story better because he's more involved. Okay. But- yeah.
There was some sort of athletic kind of fund that they were going to give him as a bonus. And he basically just spread it around. Like, I have enough. Like, just spread it around through people who need it in the athletic department. And that story kind of took off. And there were some, like, weird negative headlines about that, too, that naturally the UVA community just pounced on and just went off on these people that were trying to make it more about how, you know, Tony Bennett makes all these millions of dollars and, you know, gets praised for turning down a couple extra $1,000. I mean – people like to spin it different ways, but he was just trying to do the right thing, and obviously he's a fan favorite and for good reason.
Yeah, even more so than just turning the money down and saying take it back, he said, no, how about give it to lacrosse, maybe give it to field hockey.
Right.
So yep. That's pretty cool. Generous.
These new coaches, you know, Lars, Bronco, Tony, you know, even Carla Williams, they get what's going on. They understand what it takes to kind of build not just like, you know, a good football program, but like the sports culture that you would want to have at a championship school, which I find, you know, to be, I think this is the best sports program in the country, all around. You know, naturally, you know, we're not Alabama football, but every single sport has something, which I think is awesome. Even softball, they're reinvesting in softball. You know, their new stadium looks amazing.
Yeah, I saw that online. Yeah.
That program, I'm calling it right now, that's a playoff team in 5 years, just now with the new stuff that they're investing into the program. I mean, they are not shying away from the smaller sports, and they're focusing heavy on the bigger sports. I think they're doing a great job. March to May – oh, yeah, go ahead, Tommy.
No, I'm saying, I was just like, tennis is a story unto itself. I mean, tennis, all they do is win.
Right.
Yes. I mean, back when we played men's soccer, which is still a powerhouse.
Yeah.
It was like every year, championship, next, championship.
Yeah.
Women's soccer, all of it. So it's always been a lot of good stuff going on. And they brought it back again now, which is fun to see.
2019 was basketball national championship, lacrosse national championship, women's rowing ACC championship. Men's soccer went to the national championship game and lost in penalty kicks on like the last kick of the year. I mean,
yeah.
it's speaking for itself, and they're just gonna keep doing what they're doing. I mean, it's unbelievable. But that March to May of 2019 with basketball and lacrosse back to back was probably the craziest 3 months Virginia has ever had.
It must have been so fun, man.
I mean, I didn't really like, I mean, obviously people care about UVA lacrosse, but even like the students that wouldn't really usually care about lacrosse were like invested in the team.
I'm sure they were. I mean,
like, you know, you know these guys now, and I mean, you win, people like winners. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. And I mean, Dom kind of kicked that off with 2011. I think people started to really take notice again of UVA lacrosse, and then once Lars took over, there was definitely some bring back of the glory days of, you know, early 2000s, late 1990s, and obviously 2011. But moving up to this one, this is Dom's last championship, 2011. Did you think this was his last national championship? What did you see towards the end of his career? I'm not sure how much you were still, you know, paying attention or.
Oh yeah, I was paying attention. Yeah, I was paying attention. I didn't know how it was going to go because this was, I don't want to be morbid or whatever. Remember, they won this on the heels of Yardley Love's passing and the Hughley thing. So there was a lot of stuff going on. I was shocked that they won it. I was, and because Shamel and Ramel Bratton got kicked off the team. Remember that? Right. And so I was completely shocked. But, I mean, I can appreciate the way that the team rallied behind – you know, the women's team, and they rallied behind Dom. Because Dom, I'm sure, he was going through a lot too, you know?
Oh, for sure.
So, to answer your question, I was hoping that it wouldn't be, but I was also shocked that they won it. So, you know, I guess, you know, you have to take everything year by year because you never know.
Yeah, and then that brings me to this, which is, you know, last year, you know, how did this feel? First championship without Dom Starja, which is saying something for two decades. Watching that again, it's a similar story to the basketball team where it's three straight games where you definitely shouldn't have won, and then they did. What'd you think about this? And you know, how did you feel when they won that?
Once again, a lot of pride. I was extremely happy for Lars because he had just lost his dad, but. And I was just, I mean, once again, the mentality of that team was, we're going to grind and we're going to keep grinding. You know, remember, Yale was supposed to win that thing and, you know, basically outright. And basically, you know, but, you know, when you have like Docs Aiken and Conrad and all those guys, you know, they brought a certain mentality like, hey, and I think Lars has a mentality like, we're not losing. So whether we don't get, you know, we don't get too high, but we're not going to get too low. Just stay the course, and you do that, we'll be okay. And that's what they did. So once again, kudos to them. And hey, listen, they earned it outright. They put it to the grind. They put the system to the test that they were in. And once again, if you listen to guys like Dom and Lars, they're not going to steer you wrong. You just got to listen to them though, right. You know. And buy in, because if you don't, then, you know, see ya.
T. Smith, who wins? Your best team or this team, in your prime?
I was about to say right. I was like right now.
No.
I was like, don't do that, CBD.
I'm not trying to do that.
You know, I felt like, okay, I would say this. Through the midfield, they had more depth. Defensively, I think – I'm going to say that I think my defense was better. I think our attack with – I mean, Michael and Dougie were just straight up nasty.
Yep. Yep.
So,
I remember.
I mean, I don't want to say us, but, you know, once again, the game has changed in so many ways, though. You know, like there's now a shot clock, which – says a lot. Not that
right.
Not that our team ever sat on the ball, because we did not, that's for sure. But right. You know, I'm gonna say us just because I'm gonna be old school and selfish.
Exactly. That's I wouldn't expect anything else. That's what we always say too. So.
I mean, so then with the new style, what are you thinking with the new style? Shot clock, the new pro league where there's a shorter field, you know, even a shorter shot clock, 52 seconds, you know, kind of watching the game evolve like it has with the new league and with the new rules. Like, what are your thoughts? And do you wish it kind of went back the way it was, or do you like the new style?
No, I would say this. I haven't really paid attention to the pro style of game. I'm more paying attention to the college. I thought there should have been a shot clock back when I was playing. Because if you do that, then Princeton can't sit on the ball. They have to go to the goal. You know what I mean?
That should cost you two championships, yep.
Right. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, sit back, lull you to sleep. But, like, first of all, that's not fun for anybody. You know? You know, come at me, right? I mean, I used to – you know, I mean, if you're supposed to be all that – I mean, they had Jesse Hubbard. Jesse was nasty. And and they had gosh, who else did they have? Because anyway, their attack was, I mean, it wasn't number one, but it was either number two or three. So oh, they had John Hess. So they, I mean, they had a damn good team, but I feel like if there was one thing I could, you know, go back to, and Coach Simmons from Syracuse was he called everyone out. He's like, we need a shot clock if people are going to revert back to taking the air out of the ball. And it took years, you know, I mean, it's, you know, hey, listen, at the end of the day, they beat us, but I just feel like Princeton could not have kept up with our speed because we were – you know, we were built for speed. Like, if you weren't fast, I mean, like, look at Jay Jalbert, Drew Melchione, those guys off of Long Island, they could all run. And, you know, because you had to. Because it was like, listen, we're not slowing anything down. We can if we want to. I mean, but it's about almost like that Loyola Marymount basketball attitude, Dougie. It was like, hey, let's run and gun. And now that attitude put a lot of pressure on our defense because you had a lot of unsettled situations. You would have the 6-on-5, right, you know, or 5-on-4 and 4-on-3. And it's like, well, crap. Like, you know, what can I do? Because we're not going to change our style of offense.
Right.
Just because maybe our defense can't handle the pressure. It's just like we did more of those drills, you know, than anything. You know, even being man down if we had to. But, you know, but yeah. So, you know, I just say the shot clock. I'm glad they did that. But, you know, unfortunately for my class is a little too, you know, a little late.
Yeah, I think it's a great addition, and I think it draws fans in. No one wants to watch someone play the ball. You know,
no, it's not. No, I mean, you lose people like that. It's like, I think that's a great point. I mean, it's even something not just for the players; it's for the fans. Right. You know, like they want to see that. They want to see up and down. I mean, I think that's where. And I'll just say this, and it's not a knock on baseball, but I think that's where baseball loses a lot of people.
Yep.
And a lot of kids, you know, especially around here, and I just feel like the lacrosse numbers have gone up because people want to run and gun. They don't want to sit there and watch, you know, a game go 8 hours into midnight, right. You know, 1 o'clock, you know, and so baseball has got to figure that one out, but that's not my problem.
That's my last picture, but I want to steal Doug's idea and do your UVA lacrosse Mount Rushmore. So top four, top five guys in program history. Because I have my own. It's definitely biased because I was a goalie, so I have more than one goalie on the Rushmore.
Gosh.
This is gonna be good.
Yeah, man, this is why are you gonna do this to me? This ain't right. obviously, I'm just gonna say top five. I'm gonna put my boy Ryan Curtis up there, right? And unfortunately, he just recently lost his dad. So my heart goes out to him and his family. My gosh, man, this is going to be awful. Obviously,
this is awesome.
Obviously, Michael Watson, Doug Knight, Ryan Curtis, Jay Jalbert. I mean, one could honestly say Kevin Pelke.
I was thinking Pelke. That's my guy.
Kevin Pelke was nasty, man.
He got buckets.
Yeah, man. I mean, that would just off the top of my head be my top five, but I know I'm missing a goalie and I can't remember. And by the way, UVA's goalie, I can't remember his name, Jake. He played his ass off, man.
People don't really talk about the fact that they benched him in the middle of the season. They pulled him midway through the Syracuse game in last season. They didn't play him at all the next game against Princeton. And then they pulled him again once they put him back in. They pulled him again in the ACC tournament. And he had a really up-and-down season. And then May rolled around, and he played like a completely different person. And it's funny because I know him well. And he is very, very kind of unique as a personality. And it was kind of out of nowhere. Everyone was like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, we all know he's good. Like, he's really, really good. He had a real rough year. And then it was out of nowhere, just lights out from the kid. And it was really fun to watch because we were all rooting for him. So
So the other goalie who won the national championship, Turner? I'm sorry. Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, you have Coach Kip who won it.
Kip. Kip's definitely in the top 10. I mean, Kip was awesome too.
I have three goalies on my Rushmore out of five, so that's okay. Not great.
What's yours, Jake? Yeah,
I mean, I have two to three goalies. I have Tillman Johnson, Adam Gittleman, Steele Stanwyck, Ryan Conrad, and Doug Knight are my five. So I mean, it's mine's a little more spread out, but. I'm a goalie guy, so I gotta have two to three goalies in there at all times.
Yeah, it's your list, dude. It's your list.
Yeah, absolutely. Steele Stanwyck was awesome. Steele was smooth, man. He was smooth as silk. You know, I was kind of bummed that his brother went to Hopkins, but you know, whatever. That's a family thing. You know. that's the beauty of this. You just see so much, like. How much talent there was that there is. I mean, one could say, I mean, Dotz Aiken might be the best midfielder they ever had.
Right.
Right? I mean, look, I mean, numbers don't lie. Right. And Dotz is like, I could be wrong. He's like 6'2", 215. He's like not a small dude, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was going to go play cornerback for Villanova next year. I mean, the kid's a freak.
Yeah, no, I mean, that you can't teach. You know what I mean? Like 6'2", 210, 215 in lacrosse, I mean, you can boogie with that, you know?
This team, I have one question. I've been listening. This is amazing. I'm a basketball head. My question is, if there was – cross athlete, any sport, who would be a dominant player if they had played lacrosse? Like my mind goes to Dougie Fresh's Jersey Iverson, but you tell me, like, what if you could imagine, is it LeBron? Is it Barry Sanders? Like, what is the
let's just say
lacrosse was the sport and all effort was it? Who would you love to have seen be a lacrosse star?
Are you ready to go? AI, because he can cross over. He can break ankles. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's where my head went to.
Yeah, I mean, like, hey, don't front. AI was probably a better football player than he was basketball player, which is scary.
Right.
So
well known fact.
Yeah, I mean, he was the Gatorade High School Player of the Year, I think, in both sports when he came out.
Yeah. So was Terry Kirby. Those two, right? Those
are the two. Terry Kirby.
TW stole mine.
Oh, my bad. That's where my head was at. I can't help it. That's where my head was. Those guys.
I think Kirby could have just gone. And people don't know this. Kirby's brother Wayne played for a long time in the major leagues baseball.
Really?
Kirby played baseball through like his freshman year of high school, maybe, and then he's basketball, football. I think I'm right. I think Terry Kirby, without even playing high school baseball, got drafted to the MLB.
Wow.
In like the 90th round or whatever, but he was that type of athlete.
He was our Bo Jackson. He was the Virginia Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah, I mean, stick and learn it in a year.
Yeah, probably. I mean, hey, you could say like, hey, Jim Brown. I mean, let's just take that as like a litmus test, right?
Right.
Then so I would say like a Terry Kirby because of his size. Yeah. And I just remember growing up, those were like Virginia football came out of nowhere, and it was Terry Kirby, and I think Chris Slade is his cousin, right? Because they went to high school together. Yeah. I think they were like the number Tab. Yeah, they were like the number one high school team in the country. Who's the was it Matt Blunden? Matt Blunden.
Because Matt hooped with us until his last year, until his last 2 years. Man.
I knew that. Now, isn't he like the AD Forrest? What is it? What's the prep school? I think he just got a new job at he's like the AD.
He was a teacher in Charlottesville for a long time, a math teacher. Maybe at Albemarle or somewhere.
Maybe no, this is a prep school. I can't remember. It'll come to me at some point after. I'm sure after the podcast. But
what was your answer to that one, Jake? Just out of curiosity.
It's easy to say, you know, LeBron James because size, but my big brain over here, Jason White Chocolate Williams behind the cage. I'm telling you, man.
The
trick that guy would have.
Imagine the passes from that dude.
Yeah, wow. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Joey said
somebody just sent me a 13-minute tape of him and his dimes, and it's like that's a great call.
Imagine what he could do with a lacrosse stick. Oh my god.
That's Jake, that's a really, really good call.
That's a great call.
I can see that.
What about a big guy like a Kevin Garnett, who's also a Ralph Sampson at that size? I mean, they're both quick and they've got power and speed. Like, is that awkward? Is there ever going to be a 7'6" lacrosse player?
If it is, I'm glad that I'm not playing anymore. Because my brow behind is only 5'11". That's pushing it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you might get a guy 6'5", but, you know, I don't know about, like, any taller than that. But, I mean, hey, listen, you know, I see kids all the time. And, Jake, you know, I live near Darien High School, right, which sometimes gets me a little fired up because it's pretty waspy. But anyway, every kid on that team is, like, 6'2" or 6'3", like every single kid.
Yeah, that's bananas.
It's like, what are they feeding these kids? I mean, every single kid. I mean, I used to work over at the South Norwalk or Sono Fieldhouse and doing some, like, lessons with younger kids, whatever. And they used to show up, and I'm like, damn. I'm like, really? And just every like, yeah. And so anyway, I digress.
Well, it's kind of nice, too. Like, I mean, basketball a little different, but – lacrosse doesn't discriminate with your height. I mean, the best player.
No, that's true.
You know, it's the Grant Amen, best player in college last year was 5'9", right? I mean, these guys are not
true.
The biggest guys in the world when it comes to, you know, the skill positions or even the guys in net, right? So you can be, you know, 5'7" and be the best player in the country. It's just, you know, your other facilities. So,
yeah, but Jake, you know, all the lacrosse players, they really want to be basketball players, right? I used to mess with my dudes. They'd always try to be come and slaughter and play. They could play, but they couldn't play like that. One of the best I've ever seen, though, is your boy. You mentioned Melchione, and I forgot that he played at Duke lacrosse. But I used to hoop with him in New York, and he could do it.
So no, Drew went to UVA, but I think he had a. No, okay. But I think his brother went to Duke.
Older right? brother, yep.
Older Take brother went to Duke, and then his uncle played for the Nets.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. They're real.
Does that sound right? Yeah.
They're right.
Drew was fast as hell. I mean, yeah, that was good Lord. That's funny. I'm just trying to think. You know, I sent you that list of and TW, and you and Jake can get involved with this, but I'm going to go some old school top 10 athletes we can go top 5, top 10, whatever, athletes that have come out of the state or / Commonwealth of Virginia. I'm going to go AI number one. Well, not in any order. Let's just say AI.
Athlete or career of an athlete? Because it's a big difference.
Great question. Now you got me on that one.
I think your list is a career. Your list is a career.
Let's do it as a career.
Okay.
I would just say AI, Ralph Sampson. We can throw Terry Kirby in there for sure. Now, here's one that people may not know. Lawrence Taylor is from Williamsburg, Virginia. Think about that, right?
Yeah, LT.
Yep, Run LT.
Are we throwing Mike Vick?
Yes.
Gotta have Vick.
Yes, Vick. Gotta have Vick. I gotta have Vick. I'm just trying to think. Oh, so let's go baseball. Sean Doolittle. Mm-hmm. Justin Verlander. And there's like, I want to say, there's another guy off the Nationals. Zimmerman. You know,
Zimmerman is like, real.
He's real. He's nasty. Oh, yeah. And wasn't he like the oldest player on the Nationals team?
He was their first ever draft.
Right. That's how you know when to call it a career. He's like, I'm out. I'm done.
I'll say Grant Hill's another one. For the Commonwealth.
Right? Yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, you forgot J.R. Reed,
Alonzo went to Indian River down in Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
But I think J.R. Reed went there as well, but I don't think they overlap. I can't remember where J.R. Reed went.
J.R.'s a little older.
Yeah, okay. So maybe he did go to Indian River. But yeah, man, there's a ton of talent that have come out of that. I mean, Virginia is not like a small state, but you know, thank you, TW, for mentioning Grant Hill, because I completely forgot about him. I don't know how, but you know.
Because he's from Duke. That was just
I'm hating.
The Commonwealth has had, I mean, I'd say, the 757 has come with some athletes over the years. Like, you look collectively, that region is like amazing. I mean, also a lot of guys who did not make it due to the circumstances around that area, but like,
we're forgetting about one of the best, Moses Malone from Petersburg, right?
That's right. Yeah. So Moses Malone and my mom went to high school together. Wow. I was like, really? I was like, that is pretty cool. I was just,
What about straight up from Charlottesville? That's if we're really going to bring it home.
I was going to add Russell Wilson from Richmond.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Oh, wow. Yeah. Another good call. Right. Yep. From Charlottesville.
From Charlottesville.
Well, you got to go with Chris Long, right?
Yeah. He's probably number one.
He's probably number one, right?
He got to be number one.
Yep.
Grant Kersey, obviously.
Yep. Obviously, Grant. 3-4 for four career.
Austin Castro's up there.
I got my three. We have Tyreek Turner, Hodge Turner, and their sister, and I'm forgetting her name, which is killing me. She played at Georgetown. Hmm. The Turner family was real.
Tim Sherman, UVA quarterback.
Yep.
Was his dad a coach? Coach Sherman?
Yeah.
Yes. It was. Yep. Yeah. That was his dad. Good call. Yep.
Yep.
He started over Aaron Brooks as a redshirt freshman. Everyone was up in arms because it was remember that? I don't know. I'm getting way into shit now, but
no, I know. But Aaron, hey, listen, I liked Aaron, but Aaron was a character, man.
Yeah,
knew Aaron. I mean, he could.
I heard stories.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean,
Aaron's a great dude.
He's first of all, he had. really, he had a, you know, great arm. I mean, he really, you know, he lasted a lot longer in the NFL than I probably thought he would have. Yeah, so I think did he end his career with the Saints?
Back to the Saints. Yeah, he left for a while and then came back to the Saints again.
Saints Hall of Fame, I think, Aaron.
Yeah.
Oh, I got another one for you for the state of Virginia. James Potsy Ferrier.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Ferrier. Sir.
James Ferrier.
Oh, you got the Ron. You got Tiki and Rondé, too.
Tiki and Rondé, right?
Yeah.
But we're going to count them as one.
Exactly.
Shit, they might be right behind. I don't know. That's a tough one. Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a really good list.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously Brian Stith's another level.
Brian. Yeah, right. Yep. Good dude.
Gabby Douglas, the Olympian gymnast from Virginia Beach.
Is she from Virginia Beach?
Yeah, I remember that from 2012.
I know the name. Yeah, T. Smith, we got to get you to bring some of your old school boys back and get on the pod with Jake.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, it's not like we got anything to do.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is going to be a good kickoff for – a bunch of lacrosse podcasts that we can kick off. That'd be fun.
For sure. I'll reach out to some of the boys and see what's going on. And, you know, it gives me an excuse to try to reconnect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole point of this thing. I mean, we just want to reconnect people and keep them feeling the love. And obviously we'll be in touch with you, but appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys having me. This is great.
We'll have to do it again sometime. It's amazing.
All right, boys. Well, hey, be happy, healthy, and safe. All right.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Go Hoos.
All right, boy. I'll talk to you.
All right, guys. All right, bye. Take care.